Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. It has been a super nice day here in South Florida, where I'm at, but it's been weird. If you follow me on my Facebook, you can see why. We have this crazy lizard keeps, and he's big. He's 15 inches long or something. We have the house open because it's nice weather right now, so we have the screens up and, screen doors and all this, and somehow he keeps getting in. He's been in here 3 times. I closed the house all up, though, for the show, so we will not be interrupted by the reptile. My dog, Mei Ling, I guess they're friends. She keeps catching them and bringing them to me. I keep putting them outside, so, this has happened 3 or 4 times so far today. Shouldn't happen now. I'm very excited about today's show, though. We have a fantastic guitar player, musician, singer-songwriter, and just all-around cool person as our featured guest today. And without further ado, I would like to welcome Miss Ariel Velvet. And I said I wouldn't mess this up. Belvalaire. When I wrote it down on this piece of paper with all these weird, little pronunciation marks and stuff, and I don't even know what I'm doing, man. Ariel Belvedere.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Thought I could get it out. Yeah.
Don't worry.
Sorry about that, Ariel.
All the time.
I shouldn't have drank all that cough syrup before the show. No, I'm kidding. I did.
Yeah, right.
It's the lizard, man. It's the lizard. So, Ariel, I got your press kit about a month back and from the fine folks over at Trend PR, or just Trend, I guess. And, I was blown away. I was watching some of your videos on YouTube and whatnot. You are amazing. I mean, amazing.
Oh, thank you.
How long have you been playing the guitar?
Oh, man. I think I've been playing about... I want to say 12 or 13 years now. It's pretty much my entire life. I don't think a day goes by where I don't think about it, touch it, play it. It's pretty much all I do.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, when you were a little girl, did you know that music was, what you needed to be doing? That it was going to be your thing?
I always wanted to be a musician, but when I was younger, I specifically wanted to be Avril Lavigne. Not just a musician, specifically Avril. So, I wanted to be a singer first. I started singing in a band, and then we needed a guitar player, so I just started playing guitar. And the second I started playing and performing with a band, I knew I was in the right place. You could not keep me off the stage if you tried.
Well, that's amazing, man. That is so cool to figure out. There's a great Mark Twain quote, and I say this all the time on the show, but it's so good. And apparently he said there are 2 very important days in a person's life, the day they're born and the day they figure out why. And, I know people, Ariel, that are 60 years old that haven't figured that. I mean, I hope they do. they need to get on that.
Yeah.
But you discovered this about yourself, this performance gene. Or did you come from a background? Were your folks, in the entertainment?
Surprisingly, no. I'm the first one in my family to be in the entertainment industry, but everybody was super supportive. My parents would always be at my shows. My first show, I was 10 years old,
nice.
And I sang in a bar. And my parents had to get me in. I had to have big X's drawn on my hands so they couldn't serve me alcohol. Don't serve the 10-year-old alcohol. Don't do it. And they were just, blown away. And they would always come to my shows and be like, that's my daughter. So everybody was super supportive. But first musician in the family.
That's cool, man. That's cool. That reminds me, a million years ago when I was young and wolfing around, I was dating this girl and we went to a punk rock show, and there was some band play, and it was one of those shows. It wasn't like a big thing. I think it was us and then the band's family. That was, and maybe a couple friends. That was the whole audience, you know, one of those shows.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah,
the lead singer was this big punk rock guy with a mohawk and every, you know, he chains the whole bit. And his wife and daughter were at the show. And the daughter, I don't know, she had to be like 4 or 5. And she was sitting on the bar, you know, watching Papa. And she had, you know, everybody was very cool. And she had little earplugs in and everything. And I remember this girl I was dating, who was a snoot. I don't know. I used to date a lot of snooty girls. But this gal was a snoot. And she's like, I can't believe they would bring that child, you know, to a, you know, like this place, you know. Ugh. And I said, you know what? I said, that little girl is safe, is the safest one in this place. If anybody tried anything, all these punk rockers would kill them.
They
would. Yeah. I am
100%.
Not worried about that little girl.
Oh, no, she's good.
But, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So that's amazing.
Oh, that's amazing.
And you just, so let me ask you this, because you also do, no, I'm probably going to mess this up. Aerial gymnastics, is that what it's called? It's with the rings and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Wow, how cool is that?
I do what's called Lyra. And you know what's awesome? My name is Ariel. I'm an aerialist. And Ariel spelled backwards is Lyra. And the hoop I hang off of is called a Lyra. So that one was meant to be, I guess. But yeah, I was a gymnast growing up. So I was always, if I wasn't performing, I was flipping around the backyard or something. So, you know, regular guitar playing wasn't dangerous enough, apparently. So I had to try combining it with aerial. So naturally, you know, anything I love, I try to figure. Oh, what was that?
No, no, finish your thought. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no, all good. So, yeah, anything I love doing, I have to figure out a way to combine it into my live shows. So naturally I was like, how can I play guitar upside down on this aerial hoop? So I just went for it. I have a strap that goes around my waist so it doesn't hit me in the head. At least
amazing.
Not hard. We're good. Yeah. So, yeah, aerial guitarist.
You know, I love that because I was just talking about this on a couple shows ago. I'm at that age, man, I've turned into an old man. I don't know how it happened, but I never planned on it, but here we are. But I'm at that age where I have seen a lot of, especially in bands and music and nightclubs and stuff. I've seen a lot, you know, I've been there. I've seen trends come and go several times. The same one, I mean, but, I am on this search. Whenever I go to a club or a show or something, I want to see something new. I like seeing a show. I appreciate fantastic musicians and whatnot. I mean, I get it. I can't do it, you know. But when I go to a rock show, I don't want the same vibe as when I go to a symphony or something. You know what I mean? It's
right.
I want to see something that just blows my mind, like an aerial guitarist. How cool is that? You know?
Right?
That's amazing. You know? Wow.
Yeah, I think one of the most common questions I get besides, what did I just watch, was, is like, why? And I'm just like, because it's different and I can. Why not?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I
have a good DJ friend of mine in the electronic world that I'm going to, you know, send this podcast to, because he always starts his sets out with, you know, all kinds of Tycho drummers and all kinds of, you know, aerialists and just, you know, an opera singer or whatever, you know, he throws all that in there and then does his DJ thing. But it's a cool intro, you know, and you two definitely need to meet.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
He'll be flying you to Belgium before you know it. You know, no, I don't, I can't
bring
say
it
that,
on.
But, you know, yeah, the stranger things have happened. Anyhow,
right?
No, but it doesn't surprise me that you're that good, you know, with the guitar, because obviously, you know, there's a lot of natural talent there, but I suspect, no, I don't know, but there's also probably been a lot of practice, and it seems to me that people that are athletic and into gymnastics or whatever, you know, they get from a very early age that if you work at something over and over and over, you get better at it. And
100%.
A lot of really good musicians and people I know have that background. You know what I mean? They know how to work.
Right.
Obviously, you do too.
Right. Guitar is definitely not something that comes overnight. Sometimes it takes years to even get a single chord or a riff. It's one of those things where you have to have a regimented practice routine, switch it up, keep trying to learn different songs, different genres, pretty much everything you can. And then eventually it all clicks and you're like, wait, when did I learn how to do this? But when you get there, it's great. And once you do get there, you have to make sure you keep learning. So you can always, because you can never, you can never learn too much on guitar. You always have more to learn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you have to, I'm not in the music business. I'm a painter by trade. I paint pictures of people and stuff for a living. And
awesome.
I know with me, well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's everybody has their thing. That happened. Believe me, there was a time when I was a kid that I wanted to be doing what, well, maybe not the aerial gymnastics thing. I don't know how good I would look in a leotard, but, you know, just being in a rock band, that was the dream. But I just have no musical ability whatsoever. All the practice in the world ain't going to change that. I'm a painter. That's what I can do. But anyway,
I know, an artist, right?
You got to do what your skills are. You know, you got to play to win. But for me, like if I go on vacation or something, my wife, you know, every so often we'll have to go on vacation a couple times a year. And it's just how our life is, you know. But if I go on vacation and I'm not painting every day, it takes me a day or two to, and I'll paint something weird. I won't paint any commissions during that because I have to get my groove back, you know, because I'm used to doing it every day. And if I take a break, I got to keep at it. I get it back, you know.
Right.
I imagine with music, it's the same type of deal, I would think. You know, I don't know.
Absolutely. Especially when you learn a really tricky brand new riff, it'll take you like all day to figure it out. You'll finally get it up to speed working on it for hours. And you're like, I got this. The next day, like sometimes your fingers like won't even want to move. And you're like, what? And you have to like keep going or else pretty much you lose it or lose it. Right. Yeah. It's one of those things.
Exactly.
You can't just wake up and have it. It's always a process, which drives me nuts sometimes, but it is what it is.
Well, that's amazing. No, you grew up in New England, right? Connecticut?
Yeah, Connecticut.
How cool is that? I went to college in Boston. I knew a lot of people from Connecticut. I never hung out in Connecticut, though. I don't think. I can't remember. It's been too long ago. Are you still out in, or up in New England, or are you out in L.A. now?
I'm actually in L.A. I would love to go visit. Hopefully we can soon. But yeah, my family is still all in Connecticut. It's so beautiful there. The weather in LA is really nice, but Connecticut has the most beautiful falls. The leaves are just amazing.
Absolutely.
You can't beat East Coast falls.
No. And it's weird, you know, and you see people hanging Christmas lights and flip-flops and stuff. You're like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing. I did not miss, you know, shoveling my car out and stuff like that. But at the same time, you're right. New England in the fall, you can't beat it, man. You can't beat it.
Nope.
It's fantastic. It is fantastic.
Oh, definitely.
And people are like, you know,
yeah, it's amazing.
It's funny. Your California friends are like, oh, we'll just go up to Big Bend. I'm like, it's not the same. It's not
nope.
the same.
Not
I don't want to have to
close.
Drive through Riverside to see a tree, you know? Come on.
Yeah, right.
I was never in L.A. I spent like a decade out there. I was down in San Diego, but which means I was
nice.
In L.A. every weekend, I guess.
Pretty much.
I tell people, you got to do California for a minute just so you can appreciate
you
other places.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a thing. You know, it's weird, too. I was just talking to my wife about this, the personality. I'm like, she's like, well, what do you mean, like, East Coast? I'm like, East Coast people are aggressive. They get stuff done, man. They're just...
Yeah.
You know, like that. Whereas the West Coast, a little more laid back.
Yeah,
flakiness
definitely.
Happens, you know, and it's hard to get used to at first. and you know,
oh, it really
you
is.
Can't get offended by it. Oh yeah, but
oh man,
you know,
especially when you first move out here and you're trying to get your first apartment, and they take like a week to call you back, and you're like, what? Crazy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm living at the bus station. Come on. I hope that didn't happen.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. If you are at higher risk, you should stay home as much as possible and avoid close contact with people who are sick to protect yourself. Call your doctor if you have concerns about COVID-19 and your medical condition, or if you get sick. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com. to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Did you have everything set up when you made the move, or did you just drive out or fly out?
I was actually playing a gig in Vegas for a few months just as a hired guitar player.
Nice.
And when that ended, I already had all my stuff. It was close enough, so I just rented a car and drove to LA and stayed. But
before that, I was planning
on moving out eventually, but didn't plan on it happening right then and there, but it did, and I stayed, so we're good.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I spent a summer in Vegas. I got mad and decided to move to Las Vegas in July. Not the brightest bulb on the tree. Vegas is kind of a weird town because the thing about Vegas is you'll meet people that are either working or they're not. There's no in between. It's a crazy town. But I think Vegas has a little more hustle going. At least the people I met, everybody has like 4 or 5 gigs they're doing and weird stuff. I was roommates for a minute with a blue man, people are like, which one? And
awesome.
Well, there's like 45 of them, that nobody knows about. They think there's only 3. I'm like, no, it's a show.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So this is cool. So you were doing, no, you also, I'm looking through my notes here. You are the lead guitarist for an all-female Guns N' Roses tribute band, which has the best name I've ever heard of a Guns N' Roses tribute band, Paradise Kitty. That's pretty awesome.
Yes. Right.
So you do all the slash.
We have
bits.
A lot of fun
you
on stage
the...
and get a lot of jokes out of that too.
Nice. Is it? Let me ask you this. Is it? No, I was talking to a musician friend of mine who is in a band, but it seems like a lot of bands will do like tribute bands or, you know, cover bands and whatnot, because you can always get work, you know, you can get stuff, and money's nice to have.
Right.
Is it hard though? So you're in a Guns N' Roses band. I mean, and people, these are like anthems. I mean, people know it down to, I mean, not even musicians, but just regular people when they hear, you know, November Rain or something, in their mind, the video is playing and they've heard that a billion times. They know it. Is that kind of intimidating to like learn it to be perfect? Because it kind of has
to
be, right?
Yes. It's so funny. When I got the call to audition for that band, they're just like, oh, by the way, all of our fans sing along the guitar solo, so you better play it note for note. I'm like, what? People do that? And then my first show, they started singing along. I'm like, oh, God, I better play it right. Thankfully, I did, so I didn't get, like, slapped by anybody. It was amazing. After having to learn the whole Appetite record, I feel like I was such a better guitarist. I think I had 2 weeks to learn the whole thing, and there's a lot of notes. There are so many notes in that.
Oh,
Flash is amazing. And there's multiple key changes. So once I got that set down, I was like, all right, I think I can pretty much play anything now. We're good. But it was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And just like seeing these fans react to a tribute, they're so into it, and it's so much fun.
Well, yeah, and it is cool because, you know, and the reality is, I mean, there are some good bands out now. You know, there always are. I run into a lot of people. I was just talking about this the other day. You know, music doesn't end with whatever band was playing the first time you kissed a girl or okay, a boy, whatever. But a lot of people are that way. Oh, there's been no good music since 1982 or whatever. Every generation says that. I'm sure fans of Mozart were saying that about Beethoven, you know. It's too heavy. Oh, I don't know. You know.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, the thing is there doesn't seem to be in mainstream music right now a hard rock. You'd be very hard-pressed to go to a rock show, you know, where it's just, oh, my God, it's blowing my mind. It's like Van Halen or something. You know what I mean? You just don't have that now. And so I think these tribute bands are great because people get a taste of that, you know? And rock show is very cool.
Yeah, and, you know, like you were saying, you don't see much rock anymore, and there's not a whole lot of guitar in pop music these days. So to see people react to guitar playing like they used to, it's just so refreshing, and you're just like, wow, people really do love really good musicianship and these live instruments and rock. It's just so nice to see it.
No, absolutely. I mean, and you're fantastic. I was watching, I've been posting it through the week leading up to the show and whatnot. You did a Stevie Ray Vaughan cover, which was fantastic. And I'm watching that.
Thank you.
And I thought of another Steve. I was like, man, this gal is like Steve Vai and Crossroads, you know? Blowing me away here. Amazing.
So funny, I had my Stevie Ray Vaughan hat on today. Speaking of that,
there you go.
Look at that.
You know, and it's amazing to come across someone with such talent. Now, would you say that you spend as much time rehearsing and practicing on the guitar as you do with your aerial performances? I imagine that takes
probably
a lot, too.
Much more. I'd say. Aerial. I'm actually newer at. I've only been doing it a couple years, but I was a competitive gymnast growing up, so it came pretty easily. I was the annoying one in class that, like, I wasn't great at the dance tricks, but all the gymnastics tricks, I would get it pretty much first try or first couple tries, and I'm like, oh, okay, I got that. and then just keep working out and having fun with it. Whereas guitar, I actually have to sit down and make sure it's note for note, nice and clean, work on the technique, make sure I'm using the best fingering possible to make it easier and cleaner. Whereas aerial, I just kind of like do my gymnastics routines and just go for it and don't really have as high expectations. Like, it just needs to look cool and be fun. It doesn't have to be perfect. But guitar, I'm a little harder with.
I gotcha. Well, you have a new single out, Elastic.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about this.
So this song, it's really cool. Whenever I write songs, I always have a list of potential song titles to bring into a session with me, just to give the other writers and I an idea of, you know, just what we want to say or what I want to say. And I had the word elastic written down forever. Because at the time, I was in a relationship where it just kept bouncing back and forth, and I never really knew what was going on there. But the word elastic also resonated with me as an aerialist, because, you know, I'm bendy like an elastic band. So I really wanted a song called Elastic Love, and we went into the writing room and started writing it, and it just became Elastic. And I really wanted, like, a pop rock anthem just about relationships that, you know, it still brings in the fun, good qualities of the relationship as well. But, you know, you got your pop rock angsty anthem going. And, of course, every pop song, I think, needs a guitar solo. So, of course, there's a pretty epic one in there, too.
I agree. Yeah. Well, let's play it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Oh, yes. This song was recorded in Nashville. And the musicians in Nashville are amazing. So we had a scratch vocal and guitar for the song. And once we went into the actual recording session, we just said, you know, like Avril Lavigne vibes, but like punk rock with maybe a little bit of country. And the whole band was just like, oh, okay, cool. What tempo? And then they just counted off. I'm in the vocal booth. They start playing. I'm like, what is this? It's amazing. Oh, this is my song. I better come in and I'll measure. And it was just incredible.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, let's play it real quick. Here it is. Here it is, everybody. This is Ariel Belvalar. I think I said that right.
Close, Belvalar.
Belvalar. I'll get it. Anyway, this is Elastic. Check this out, everybody. It's fantastic.
Sometimes I don't
Amazing, ladies and gentlemen, amazing. I'm telling you, Ariel, not only can you, play a few notes on that old guitar there, you got a heck of a set of pipes on you, too. Fantastic track.
Thank you. Not
amazing.
Bad for a little 5-foot girl, right?
I'm telling you, that's about as big as a guitar. No, that would be a bass. No, that's great. That's fantastic. Well, it's cool. Do you do a lot of your recording in Nashville? I love Nashville, by the way.
I do. Oh, I love Nashville. I've recorded in L.A. a bunch, too, as well as New York City. But Nashville, so far, is my favorite place I've recorded, just because all of the musicians are just so fantastic. You get live instruments. There's no fake drums. You have real guitar, real keyboards. It's
right.
Just, it's so nice. And I actually work with a team in Nashville, so I do miss going out there, hopefully soon, but we've recorded so many amazing songs there. I don't want to really go anywhere else because I just love my Nashville players.
I hear you. Well, and it's just chock full of amazing musicians. And, you know, it's funny, I was talking to somebody about Nashville, and they said, well, yeah, it's all country, right? And I'm like, yeah, there's country there. I said, but, you know, I'm telling you right now, last time I was in Nashville, I wound up over in East Nashville, and there were more hipsters in East Nashville than there were in L.A., you know? I'm like, whoa. Nashville's pretty cosmopolitan when it wants to be. I've been to a few pinky-out parties out there that are, pretty fancy-dancy.
Yeah.
But there, people are real nice. I like that about Nashville. Everybody's nice.
I love it there, yeah.
And you know,
the other thing, as a
painter, I'll roll into a town or whatever, you know, on business or whatever. And if I see a lot of construction going on, like cranes and stuff and earth being moved, I'm like, ooh, buildings. Buildings have walls. I can make money here. And
yeah.
I always do, you know. So, yeah. Nashville's been pretty good to me, you know.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. Well, that's cool. That is very cool. Now, I want to let people know, Elastic, the single, is out. What we just heard, ladies and gentlemen, you can buy this. You can pick it up wherever you buy digital music, right, Ariel?
Yeah, it's on all the platforms. And we've also decided if we get to 1,000 streams by tomorrow, I'll actually do an Instagram Live little concert, Q&A, a little shred session. And, of course, we'll play Elastic as well.
Nice. Well, there you go, folks. Stream that today. We got to make this happen. I want to see that tomorrow. Very, very cool.
Nothing
better
than
let everybody know also.
Shred solos, right?
I am telling you. I don't know if it's my age or whatnot. I grew up in the 80s. You know, I'm an old man, but I have always loved the guitar. You know, another instrument that you never hear anymore that just kind of faded away is a saxophone. There used to be a sax solo all the time in music, and that's just on now. I guess people don't have it, you know, on their Fruity Loops or whatever, but they need to bring it back.
Yeah.
But the cool thing with a guitar, though, is you can't fake it. You can't fake.
No.
You can't find, here's a cool beat, or you can't bring in a drum machine, you know, or a 303 or something and do it. It has to be a talented person doing that. And it fills it with something, you know. It really fills out a good track, especially in pop music. You're absolutely right on that, you know. It's fantastic to hear. And you're making it happen, so that's a good thing.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Rocks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
Hey, I want to let people know before I forget, though, we have links to your website, your Facebook, your Instagram, Twitter, all of that. So I want everybody to go over there and like and share and follow and all of that. Ariel's Instagram is fantastic. I love scrolling through. I just was before the show, and we were talking off mic about your partner, one of your partners in crime, who is on your Instagram. There's a couple pictures of him. What's his name?
Yes. So my partner in crime, my little soulmate, his name is Gucci. He is a hairless guinea pig. I don't have an L.A. purse dog, but I have a purse pig. I may or may not have snuck him into several casino shows with me.
Nice.
Yeah, I literally have a little pet bag I covered with a blanket, and I was like, what? That's just a gym bag. But he comes to my shows whenever he can. He loves rock music. He loves Crazy Train, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And he is just a little mama's boy and a rock and roller. So you got to have him on the gram, right?
That's fantastic. I didn't know they had such a thing as a hairless guinea pig. I've only ever seen them with hair. That's pretty neat.
Yeah. The second I saw one, I was like, oh, it's so weird. I have to have it. I love it. I guess that's
fantastic.
My inner rocker, right?
I'm telling you, my wife had a pet rabbit. And when me and her got together, it became my pet rabbit, really, is what happened. I kind of say that jokingly, but she's my buddy. And, the problem was, and this is the bad part about pets. I'm not trying to bring the party down or anything, is they don't last forever, unless you get a turtle or something.
I know.
Like
yeah. We have a tortoise, too, but she's not Gucci.
What do you have?
Oh, we have a little tortoise here, too. Yeah. She'll last forever, but Gucci is my baby.
There you go. It's a couple years ago, my wife let me get a dog, and
nice.
I never considered myself really a pet person or even a dog person or anything. And You know, it's me and my wife don't fight that often. We've got a pretty good thing. But when we do, it's usually pretty big. And, you know, she's like, well, you can just take your dog with you. And I'm down.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, man. I'm getting kicked out and the dog. Yeah.
Ouch.
So I want to stay here with my cat. But it is, you know, it's funny. I was reading this article. This is a couple years back where Barbara Streisand, I guess, had a couple dogs that had passed on, and then she had them cloned. Like it was like some ungodly amount, like $80,000 or something per dog to have that happen. And you know, and this was before I got my dog, and I'm like, oh, how ridiculous is that, cloning it? I got my dog now, and I'm like, oh, I don't know, man, if I had $80,000. And I was in that situation.
Totally worth it.
It might have.
Yeah.
That's right. I like animals, though. I always have. And it's, you know what? You can always tell a nice person when they have an animal. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Everybody mean I've ever met doesn't have any. They just don't.
Exactly. Exactly. It's very true.
And plus, having a clubbing, you know, a guinea pig that's going to go to a club with you, how cool, or a show, how cool is that? That is
it's
awesome.
It's pretty awesome. And then when you pull out a guinea pig, people are like, what? And then I just tell them it's rock and roll, end of story.
There you go. That's fantastic. Hey, I wanted to ask you, to be serious for a second, your guitar playing, is there a particular type of guitar or brand that you prefer? Or do you have like 30 guitars and a bunch of those little stands or hooks on the wall that you hang them on? Do you have a guitar house?
I do have a bunch of guitars. I am a Fender artist. Mm-hmm. I've always loved Fender from day one. I was Fender Strat lover from the second I even picked up a guitar. I have one Strat. I call her my wife. She is beautiful. She has a double humbuckers and she's a champagne gold. I think she's custom shop,
nice.
But I didn't know that when I got her. She is my number one go-to. I have a bunch of amazing guitars, but there's just something special about this one. I'll play the other ones, but I'm always most excited to play this double humbucker Stratocaster.
Nice, nice. Now, when you write, do you write with acoustic and then, you know, when you go in, use the, you know, change it up for electric, or do you write with electric? I know some people who do both.
I do both. Usually it's whatever is closest to me. I'm the obnoxious person where if I get a song idea in my head, I will be wandering around aimlessly, just in the clouds, humming and reaching for whatever instrument's closest. But generally, if I have too close to me, I would always go for the acoustic first because it's just easier. You don't have to plug it in. You can just get the song idea out. And then after that, I'll figure out some electric parts.
Nice, nice. Yes, Ariel
yeah.
was the girl at the party that would always play the guitar, I'm assuming.
Yep.
I've known a few of those. Nothing wrong with that.
I'd be the one at the party playing the guitar the entire time. Then once the set's done, I'll be like, okay, good night, thank you.
And I would be there, Ariel, putting the hat out, going, okay, guys, you were just entertained for the whole evening. You got to throw something in here. Let's go.
Okay, can you come to all of my gigs then, please?
That's right. That is right. You know, it's funny. That's how, when I was a kid, many, many years ago, this was pre-internet, that's how I got to see a lot of shows, actually. Not being a hat boy, but almost. You know, everybody I knew were in band. This was so funny, Errol. You'll love this. I grew up in Midwest, a suburb of Detroit, and this was the 80s, and at the time, all of my friends all wanted to be Randy Rhoads or Eddie Van Halen. That was it, baby. That was who they, and they all wanted to be in a band, you know, and I actually had a conversation with a bunch of my friends. I'm like, well, it's great you guys want to be in a band, but I don't know any bands that has, you know, 12 guitar players. Somebody's going to have to learn something different. Sing, you know, you gotta do something.
Yeah.
You can't just have guitars. And, you know, and it's many of them did not maintain that interest, or at least, you know, it didn't work out. Life happened. A couple did, but the majority didn't. But, you know, the cool thing with guitars, you know, especially that era, is just everybody wanted to be in it, you know. What were some of the big influences, musician-wise, for you, besides Avril Lavigne?
You actually just mentioned them. Randy Rhoads
is
my favorite guitar player.
Oh, Randy Rhoads.
And, of course, Van Halen. You can't not love Van Halen. He was just incredible, so innovative. But Randy was the first guitar player that I ever heard where I had to stop what I was doing, pick my jaw up off the floor, and be like, okay, I can't just play Avril Lavigne. I need to play that. So the second I heard Crazy Train, just the intro completely captivated me. And when he got to that solo, my whole world was blown, and I knew I had to do specifically that. It took me a year to learn that solo because, of course, I had been playing like a month when I heard it. And when I finally did play it out, I just knew I was on the right path. People were like, oh, my God, she loves Randy Rhoads. A girl can play Randy Rhoads. It was so special. And I had the same experience with Van Halen. The first song I heard of his was Eruption. I was like, okay, game over. This is amazing. We got to do rock solos.
Oh, yeah. And I love the whole, like, when he, I don't know if there's a technical term for it. I'm sure there probably is, where he's doing that almost like picking with the strings and everything. I mean, nobody had heard that before. Like, first time I heard, none of my, there wasn't anybody out there that, I mean, there was some guitar players that were fantastic and everything, but man, I remember hearing that and I was like, whoa, this is, he's making that talk in a whole new language. It was amazing. It was,
yeah.
It's been a hard year with his passing, you know, it was rough.
Oh.
It's one of those musicians that was real rough for me, I imagine, for you as well.
Absolutely. He is just a rock legend. He's amazing. There will never be another. He's just so good.
Oh, absolutely. I was talking to somebody about this the other day, too. There's been a few in recent years. I won't say they were all last year or this year. But there's been a few, you know, Prince, of course, Bowie. Van Halen just, and I don't know if it, he was just such a part of my youth, you know, growing up. Not him personally, you know, I didn't hang out with Eddie Van Halen. It just, he was at every party, every get-together, every time me and my friends would go cruising in cars. You know, he was there. His music was there.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very, I can't say that about a lot of musicians now. But maybe, you know, I'm not out cruising at 16 either. Maybe, you know, there are somebody, you know, somebody's like, oh, yeah, the Killers are fantastic. And I'm not saying they're not. You know, maybe somebody's saying that. I probably are. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought they were pretty interesting. But, you know, they weren't Van Halen interesting. I'll say that.
Right.
No shade towards the Killers. Don't send me emails, people. Jeez.
I do love the Killers.
Let me ask you, you mentioned something when you were just talking that struck my fancy a little bit, is you had mentioned, oh, a girl can play Randy Rhoads. Let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to be a creep or anything like that, but we do live in an era where I think things are getting better. I think they have a long ways to go. Do you get a lot of blowback for being a female musician? Does that even come up? It shouldn't, but I mean,
oh my
does
God.
It?
Constantly. It doesn't as much now, but when I first started, I was one of the first really young female guitarists on YouTube. My guitar channel started blowing up when I was 15, and I hadn't been playing guitar that long. I hadn't really been playing lead a long time, but I did an Aussie solo. It wasn't perfect. I was just starting, and I would have so many people just like telling me I should get back to the kitchen. Like, it was brutal. And
really?
Then it got better because there were more and more female guitarists, which is amazing. I love seeing women just owning it. And people are really supportive now. It's amazing. And it's just great to see these talented women just going for it and not having to deal with any setbacks right now. It's amazing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I hope you didn't have – I'm glad the creeps didn't turn you off, you know, and – I think anybody who's going to be, you know, critical of something on that level is probably just jealous that they can't play as well as you do, you know. I'm sure you get that a lot.
That's what my mom would tell me, too, when it would happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man, absolutely. I'll never forget. It reminds me when I first many, many years ago when things really started happening for me, I was making a little bit of money and this and that and getting a little bit of press. I started getting hate mail. Like people would, this is back before, you know, this is back in the MySpace days. People would send me hate mail, you know, oh, your painting sucks and all this kind of stuff. And it really bummed me out, you know, because it's hard as an artist not to take that personal, you know, because it's like you're putting it out there. And I remember talking to my father, and he says, well, it sounds to me like you're actually doing something. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, well, you got haters now, you know? So it gave me the idea. What I started doing is I made like a bulletin board on my website, and I would post, it had a whole page, so it was called hate mail. And I would post the hate mail on there, and then people can make comments on it and like critique it.
Nice.
And it stopped. People stopped sending me hate mail after, because I was using it, you know what I mean, in a positive way.
Yeah,
I guess.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it wasn't as fun. But, you know, there's creeps out there. But I'm not, you know, again, I'm not a young lady trying to do, man, who's going to give a 15-year-old girl a hard time? That just makes me mad.
Right? That's what I said, too.
You know, what is that? I'm glad you overcame that and it didn't deter you, you know? It was nice rocket fuel, I bet, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, there is just nothing that can keep me off the stage.
That's awesome. Were you always like that, even when you were like a kid and stuff? Were you a little bit of a ham?
Well, we had my first tap dance recital when I was really little. I don't think I followed the routine. Apparently, like, I walked off stage and then I just came back on. I was like a little solo, so I would say yes.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool.
I still have that tattoo also, by the way.
Oh, nice. My wife tells me tales. I've never seen any video. See, the kids today, when they do all this stuff, because everybody, you know, there's YouTube and everybody can video stuff with their phone and stuff, you know. But, yeah, there's back in the day, you had to have camcorders, and it was a big production.
Yeah.
You know, it was a big pain. But, yeah, she tells me tales. Apparently, she was a tap dancer as well at some point when she was a young lady.
Nice.
But that's cool, man. That is cool.
Yeah.
So now, you know, here you are. You're doing rock and roll for a living. You're traveling around the world and stuff, you know. Well, pre-COVID and all that. How cool is that? You know, your dreams are coming true. That's pretty awesome.
Absolutely. It's so much fun.
You know, I imagine you got to every so often just, like, kind of sit back and go, well, this is pretty cool, you know. This
oh, my God,
fantastic.
Yes. Traveling on tour was one of my favorite things ever. There's just something so special about waking up in a new city, knowing you're going to be on stage, and then afterwards knowing you're going somewhere you've never been. It's amazing.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, do you think when all this settles down, you'll be doing the, my friend Robbie does this. He calls it being a hired gun, a gunslinger, where he plays stand-up bass, rockabilly guy, and he always gets hired to go on tour and stuff, like when the bass player can't make it. I assume some of your gigs were like that too, right? They would hire you to play guitar.
Oh yeah.
For different.
Absolutely.
Do you think
I loved those gigs? Just because, you know, you have to learn all these new songs, and you're a better player after. It was songs I never would have thought of on my own too.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Is that difficult, though, and then having your own stuff going at the same time? Or I imagine that's probably easier than if you were in a dedicated band. You know, well, Ariel's gone for 3 months, you know. We got to wait till she gets back. Type of deal.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
maybe
actually
not.
Pretty easy. Most of those gigs for hired guns, you know, since you are a hired gun, they can always hire someone else if you're not available too. So whenever I'm available, I love to do any and everything. But my solo artist career is just my number one love, of course.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and you're doing it. And let me ask you this before we run out of time. Advice, because I know there's a lot of young people and maybe some young girls out there, I'm sure there are, that want to be doing what you're doing. They want to get to that point, you know. What's the number one advice you would give somebody like that?
Never stop. That's the biggest piece of advice. You just have to keep putting yourself out there, keep creating, keep learning. It definitely does not happen overnight. It's a gradual process, but you just have to keep going. Don't let anybody stop you. Don't let anybody tell you you're not good. It's not a contest. You just have to keep going, love it, and growing, and just putting yourself out there and just being yourself. That's really all you can do.
Absolutely. Yeah, don't, you know, I will agree with her. Do not fall into that trap of trying to, you know, compete with other people. The only person you should be competing with is you yesterday. You know,
right.
You waste a lot of time, man. Oh, I got to do this because that person's doing this. Don't worry about it, man. As long as the checks are coming in and things are still, you know, you're doing what you love. You still have your passion. You're excited when you wake up in the morning. And you're doing
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
You're doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got to keep
very,
going.
Very, very cool. And definitely get a Fender Stratocaster so she can, you know.
Absolutely.
Then you can make it
They're
sing.
The best. Yeah, definitely.
See?
Double humbuckers.
That's fantastic. Let me ask you this, because I always ask every guitar friend that I have and this question. Again, just growing up, knowing all these guitar players, because some people get to a point where they're no longer this guitar player. Do you have a big milk crate in one of your closets full of broken chords that you are going to fix at some point, but never do?
I do. It is actually in a crate in the garage. I don't know if I'll ever get around to fixing them, but they're there for sure.
They cost money. It's
kind
hard
of
to throw them out.
One or two of them in the snake pit might work, but it would take a whole lot of untangling to test that one out.
I hear you. Is there, in a related, more serious question, do you have a go-to pedal that you use or effects now that you like?
Ooh, I do. One distortion pedal, I have several different ones, but one I always have on my pedal board, especially if I'm doing like a rock gig and like to throw in one of the 80s rock solos, is the Boss DS1X. You get a nice, crunchy, like 80s big hair distortion, we call it. It's amazing for Guns N' Roses. It's amazing for Elastic. I love playing with that one. It's just all around great for rock. And, of course, I think my next favorite pedal, I love my delays. It's between two of them. You know, I'd say my Electro Harmonix is probably my most favorite of the delay pedals. That one's pretty good, too.
Nice. Well, there you
yeah.
go, guys. There you go. Well, very, very cool. And, you know, Ariel, you're making it happen, man. You're very inspiring. You're very inspiring.
Thank you.
I'm telling you. Even today, some days I have those days where I wake up and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can do it today. And
yep.
Now my first thought is, well, Ariel's out there doing it today. So you get it in gear, Jamie. Let's go.
Exactly. Guitarist style.
That's awesome.
Yep.
You have to.
Awesome.
You have to. Very cool. Well, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and whatnot. I know you are a very busy girl. And, you know, got a lot going on and whatnot.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this COVID thing, man, it's weird. You know, if somebody were to tell me about, I would say, oh, we've got a lot of free time coming up. I have never been busier than this year, personally. You know,
right?
I don't know about you. I haven't been going out. Definitely jonesing for a club that, you know, or a show or something. But man, I've been working. I've been working my tail off.
Surprisingly, you'd expect like us to just be home all day doing nothing, but it's been nonstop.
No, absolutely. Well, very cool,
yeah.
Ariel. Well, keep doing what you're doing. You know, you're wicked good at it, and you know, just amazing. I can't wait to hear the next single. And again, ladies and gentlemen, Elastic, it is out now. Go pick that up, baby. Go pick that up. What a great track. When do you think you'll be dropping the next one? After the new year and whatnot?
Yeah, definitely pretty early in the new year. We've got a bunch with some pretty awesome guitar solos. So you can always expect to hear one of those from me.
And, you know, the new year is only, 30 days away?
I know, right?
We're already there. It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Well,
thank you so much, Ariel. You're awesome. I really appreciate you being on the show. You rock.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so much fun.
Anytime. And ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for us today. Of course, this will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms and on all the podcasting platforms. We're on a couple hundred of them. It's amazing. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, all the big ones. You can listen to us anytime you want to there. Matter of fact, my wife, Danny, and I were just going over the books and stuff the other day. And this is episode 1050 of our show here. So what that means is if you were really bored and had some time on your hands and you just wanted to listen to me talk to cool people, well, you could listen to every episode and it would take you 45 and a half days to 24 hours a day. And please, nobody out there do that. That's just crazy. But yeah, we have a lot of shows in archive. It's amazing. And we've got even more coming up, so it's going to be wicked cool. Well, thank you, everybody, and we will see you next time. Ariel, keep rocking. Keep rocking.
Oh, will do. Thank you.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.